Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 46 and 47. Is Christ on earth or is he in heaven? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the answer is yes. Yes, Jesus has gone to heaven. Yes, Jesus is on earth. And you'll hear about these two doctrines and the implications of these wonderful doctrines today. There are important implications of these doctrines. Our headings two are two and very simple. Jesus Christ is in heaven, and second, Jesus Christ is on earth. And our goals are that you will find peace and confidence and strength, knowing you are never, ever alone as you live and work for Jesus. Jesus Christ is in heaven. Question 46. What do you mean by saying he ascended into heaven together? That Christ, while his disciples watched, was lifted up from the earth to heaven and will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Now, brothers and sisters, many witnesses saw the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus on a mountain outside of Jerusalem. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 51, together, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Acts 1, verse 9, 10, and 11, together. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up to you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now hundreds, but likely thousands, saw the Lord Jesus Christ going back into heaven. He didn't go to India like the Muslims and the Hindus argue. He went up into heaven. Jews and Gentiles witnessed him going back into heaven. So it couldn't be a conspiracy of one or the other. And what a glorious, amazing sight to stand there in the mountains outside of Jerusalem and to see the Lord Jesus being lifted up and going. Consistent with what he said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, the fact of Jesus' resurrection was reinforced by the description of his returning, like he had said. He could not come back unless he went first. And the angel said Jesus was going to come again from heaven. And to lend weight to his return, that he will come later, the angels reminded the witnesses, you have work to do. Go and do the work the Lord has called you to do. What was that work? That work was to restore creation so man might have dominion as he was originally commanded in the Garden of Eden. When God made Adam and Eve, he said, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion over it. Adam failed, but the second Adam came and restored man the ability to have dominion for Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus told his disciples, that we're to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. Look at some more of this in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Together, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Until the times of restoration of a few things. Did you see that there? No. This was a dramatic restoration of all things. That's why Jesus said, make disciples not in the nations, but of the nations. Let the knowledge of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's why we sing, Christ shall have partial dominion over land and sea. No. Dominion. Dominion. That's what we're called to do. Spread the word wherever we have opportunity, every place where people are. Now, after his ascension, Jesus' body was transformed into a glorious body, a body that could exist in heaven. And yet, there are some, to some degree, kept the form he had on earth. Like the scars apparently will stay there to remind us of his life. There's no physical flesh and blood in heaven, of course. Now, there are at least three significant false doctrines that occur. And we must consider them at this point about Christ's ascension and what we can learn and benefit from. First of all, Christ's ascension and presence in heaven denies the repugnant doctrine of transubstantiation. This is the doctrine of the Roman Catholics, where they believe that the bread and the wine of the Holy Communion become the real body and the real blood of Jesus. The ascension says, no, Jesus' real body is in heaven. Christ's ascension and presence in heaven denies the Lutheran doctrine of consubstantiation, which is a little bit different than the Roman Catholic, but it says that Jesus' real body is above and under and beside the element of the Lord's Supper, the real body of Christ. But if Christ's real body actually went up to heaven, as witnessed to by Jews and Gentiles and many different people, then we know that significantly now, their doctrine is wrong. The Lutherans get this wrong. Jesus' real body is in heaven. And then there's something, docetism. They believe that the Lord was a phantom-like, a ghost-like creature that just took the shape of man. But again, by the ascension, Christ's real body is in heaven. Many saw him, and he said that, and the angels confirmed that. And he's simply waiting for the fulfillment of all things. He sent his people out to work. So those are three notable false teachings from others that are proved to be false simply by the fact that Jesus went into heaven with his real body. More than that, Jesus had to be in heaven so he could be at the right hand of his Father to pray for you. Remember, a right-hand man has power and influence. So your adversary, the devil, cannot stand against you because your heavenly advocate is there on your behalf. God receives the requests of his Son, but he rejects the devil's request to bring harm to you. And Jesus had to go to heaven. He had to ascend in heaven in order to be in that position. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, together, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. Who can dare condemn us? Because Jesus is at the right hand. And when someone makes an accusation, no, that's mine. I paid for his sin. And that sin he committed today, I paid for that too. Father, don't let the devil destroy him, because I paid for him. More, Jesus had to be in heaven to rule because that's where his throne is. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, together, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So you know what? You can pray to him. He's sitting on the throne. He is ruling. He is your Lord. He is your friend. You can go to him and say, you give me this task, Master. I need the things in order to do the task that you have called me to do. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's sitting on his throne, and he now gives you the things you need. Now, we'll see more about this picture now, because when Jesus is in heaven and he's sitting on his throne, he then equips you with the gifts for the work he has called you to do. And he must continue to do this work until he returns. The Apostle Paul, first of all, quoted Psalm 68 and confirmed that Jesus' ascension was not just one of triumph. He's not one saying, look at me, I'm here, I've died and I'm in heaven. It's much more. He continues to work for his children. And therefore, you are to him on his throne for the gifts he has promised. What are those gifts? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Together, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. In verse 10, Jesus had to fulfill the things which were spoken about him. And that, you have to look back at Psalm 68 to get the full and rich meaning of it. Psalm 68, verse 18 through 20, together. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. And to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Now, you see how these two verses mesh together. The Apostle Paul is really quoting from Psalm 68. And in Psalm 68, before the gifts are mentioned, the church sings of the victory of the processional of the warrior king, the mighty king. He went to battle. He won the victory. And then he brought home the spoils or the booty from war and the captive soldiers and the slaves. And they walked through the streets of Jerusalem and they were going towards the temple of Jehovah where God would be glorified. And after this took place, then the king would give out gifts to the people, for the soldiers first, and then to the whole population. And this is the picture of Jesus Christ. After he went up, ascended into heaven, and went on high, having won the victory at the cross, defeating the devil and his minions, as he was the powerful one, he then sat down in heaven and gave gifts to his people. Beautiful gifts to enrich them and equip them for their God-given tasks. You know, when David returned after victory, he just gave him some raisins and a few other things. The Lord gave gifts to men. Read Ephesians. He gave some to be teachers and apostles and prophets, people to do the work that he had called them to do. Some were given the task to be fathers and mothers and big brothers and big sisters. Got all these wonderful gifts. And it is a gift to be a father, to be a sister, a brother. These are all wonderful callings that help us in the dominion strategy. And you notice the focus of the work, though, is not on raisins, cakes of raisins. It's not on financial debt, then, to put it in modern terms. But that's what a lot of people like to say. You listen to preachers and television, it's always how God's going to make you rich, invest money, and you will get more money back in the process. No, it's not about expensive vacations. Yeah, the Lord may give you those things, but those are frivolous things. Those are the little things. He gives you better gifts. He gives you His Word, His Spirit, His church, His people. And all of these are gifts we have to use to conquer the world for Jesus Christ. How far the conquering will go, we don't know. But we want it to go all over the world because that's what He's called us to do. That's why He went back into heaven. So it's not just the doctrine to know He went back into heaven. It's all that it means to us. And here's the wonderful part. Christ will be in heaven forever. Unlike the priests of the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 23 and following say, together also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. In other words, He is in heaven. And He is there right next to God. And He is there forever. And He has His Father's, He's at His Father's right hand with all the gifts to pass on to you. And yet the Bible says, our second point today, is that Jesus is on earth. He is in heaven, and yet He is on earth. Question 47, but isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as He promised us? Together, Christ is true man and true God. In His human nature, Christ is not now on earth, but in His divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, He is not absent from us for a moment. So Christ's divinity is present everywhere. His physical body is in heaven, but His divine body is omnipresent. Remember, Jesus has two natures, a human nature and a divine nature. His two natures are never mixed or confused. His glorified human nature is limited to heaven, but His divine nature is never limited by time or by space. So when He promised His church that I will be with you to the end of the world, you can take Him at His word. Matthew 28, verse 19, together. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. But Jesus is not just present in His divinity. Jesus is spiritually present on earth through His Holy Spirit. He clearly promised His Holy Spirit, His Spirit who would communicate all things that are necessary for Christians to know through God's Word. More, His Holy Spirit will not only teach us, but will comfort us. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit will call on God for us. So is Jesus ever absent? Not a chance. John chapter 16, verse 5 through 8, together. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, for sent to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit will be here with us, in us, working. And we just sang what the psalmist wrote, that the Spirit of God will be ever present, that there's no place you could ever go where he will not be. Psalm 139, verse 7 and following says, together, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. How lonely have you felt in life? You probably said, there are times I've really felt that way. And sometimes you even feel estranged from God. You think God's Spirit ever left you? Never does. He marked you. He sealed you for eternity. There's no place. And that's the one the Lord sent. He says, I'm going to go up into heaven. I will send my Spirit who will dwell within you to pray for you. Ever felt alone? That's not the Spirit's fault. He is there. Remember, he is there with you always. Now, why is the reminder of the Holy Spirit's presence so important? Because Jesus did not die for you to redeem you and then leave you alone. He didn't abandon you as orphans to fend for yourselves. He knew that for your full salvation, he always had to be with you through his Holy Spirit. So you receive all these gifts. It's for you. It's giving you courage. It's giving you words to speak. You're in a tight situation, you're not sure what to say, and suddenly you open your mouth and there are words of comfort or the right words to speak to someone. And you say, where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. He gives you words of encouragement. Now, it means you should study God's Word because the Holy Spirit works through God's Word. But he gives you the right thoughts, the right comforts, the right challenges. More than that, he always assures you, you are God's child. You know, when you fall into sin and you think, maybe I don't really believe. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit then works and reminds you, no, by his grace, you're able to cry out what? Abba, Father. I've got a Father in heaven. How? Because of what Jesus Christ did. And the Holy Spirit works to assure you of that. Look again in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 19. We read together, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. By the way, you notice the Holy Spirit will be in you. The Holy Spirit is not Muhammad, like the Muslims say. But he is the one who will dwell in you. And you know, even with modern technology, it's not the same when you're away from your loved ones, especially for a long time if you have loved ones overseas. And it's nice to have texting because you can keep up to date with what's happening and what they're cooking for dinner. And WhatsApp will show you the photograph of what they cook for dinner. And Snapchat and Instagram and all the other things that are there. But there's always something missing, isn't it? You can't see that person. You can't see that food for real. You can't enjoy that company. You can't hug each other. You know the person is there, but you can't reach out and touch them. And as we found out over the last year, how important that is to see people, to shake someone's hand, to give them a hug. Without that closeness, relationships are strained. And the Lord knows that. That's why he didn't say, see you later, I'm going up into heaven. Sayonara. Not at all. That's why his Holy Spirit is in you. You couldn't get closer. You couldn't get closer. And what does he do? He equips you with the work for the work that you have been called to do. And then Christ's ascension to heaven after his resurrection was part of God's plan all along. Not something that was developed later, as you saw from Psalm 68. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, his ascension into heaven was talked about. So those who believe Jesus will come and set up a physical kingdom in this world are really solely deceived and are deceiving others. It's called premillennialism, if you ever heard that term. His Spirit will be with his church until the end of the earth. He will not come back to establish an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. He's establishing a kingdom in Jerusalem and in Scarborough and Istanbul and in Brisbane in Australia. He is establishing his kingdom everywhere. And how? Through you. Through you. To think that Jesus will come back physically on earth to expand his kingdom is to imply that the gifts he has given to his church now were ineffective. And he has to come and help us out. He gave us all we need. We've been restored. Remember, the first Adam failed, but the second Adam didn't. And he came to restore us the ability to go and preach the gospel. We have his word. We have his Spirit. We have everything we need to do this work. Yeah, Adam failed, but Jesus didn't. His Holy Spirit is with us today, and we have to continue to do that work. Let's conclude. Jesus' human body went to heaven to prepare a home for you, and he'll come and take you there one day, John 14. He prays for you and equips you now to do his work. But he's also present on earth now. Yes, he is here in his divinity, in his majesty, in his grace, and by his Holy Spirit. You need him to be in heaven so he could pass on all these gifts to you and talk to the Father for you. But you also need him to be on earth now, because life is hard and you need his company, you need his strength. And he is in heaven. And he is on earth. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you feel like you're fighting life's battles alone? Maybe feeling depressed? Maybe feeling confused about all you're hearing about COVID? Maybe you're worried about your marriage? Maybe you're concerned about your career? Maybe you're struggling with sin? A sin that is overwhelming you? Maybe you feel like no one cares about you? Well, it may be in this world people will abandon you. Husbands, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, they all abandon you. But who's the one who never does? The one who never leaves us nor forsakes us? The Lord Jesus. Yes, he's in heaven to give us gifts, but he's on earth to comfort you. Though you cannot see Jesus now, he always sees you. Ever-present Lord. You have the God of the universe with you. You have his Holy Spirit to help you, to teach you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to pray for you. See, the Lord has a personal stake in you. He redeemed you by his blood, and he didn't lift you up to let you down. So this is the final question to you. Are you performing your duties on earth? Remember what the angel said. Why are you staring into heaven? Why are you becoming preoccupied with that? Did you listen to what he said? Didn't you hear when he said, go and preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world? In other words, get to work, friends. Get to work. And that's the message for today. Start telling the world about the resurrection so men can look up for the one who is going to come one day, and what a glorious day that would be. Finally, if you see Jesus as simply a good man who set a good example and tried to imitate him, you will die in your sins and go to hell. But if you see Jesus as Redeemer, who died on the cross for the sins of the world, who now has gone to heaven, who offers his Spirit to those who believe, who ask, and you ask him to make you his child, then all the blessings for his children will be yours, and you will inherit heaven for eternity. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven for us. Thank you that he is on earth for us. Let it put a smile in our face and reassurance in our hearts that we can fight the devil, the world, and our flesh, that we can fight the enemies of God's people with courage and with the promised success from your hand. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.